Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life.
Welcome back, everybody.
This hey, Josh.
And this is Scott.
Yeah,
hey, Scott.
Sorry, we're stepping all over each other.
That's all right. It's a Monday. We had a good weekend.
Yes.
Lovely day. The weather's warmed up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both still sitting cold in the basement here.
That's right.
The basement has not warmed up.
That's right.
But it was a good day.
Very good Sunday. Loved it. Baptisms.
Mm-hmm.
People here to witness that who are not normally at Grace. Witness baptisms.
Yep.
So that was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And spring day and grad parties after that. And
yeah, it's that time of year.
Yeah.
It's that time of year. One thing we could mention is we are in some different ways honoring our volunteers this week. So mm-hmm. people that lead various parts of ministries at our church. And so I feel like this is a good opportunity for us to just say thank you. If you're out there and you lead a children's Sunday school classroom, or you lead an adult discipleship, or lead a community group, or greet at the door, or you make the coffee, or anything like that. Man, there's so many different people that are serving in so many different ways every week at Grace. And so thank you.
Yes.
To you all.
Big thank you. And I'll even give specific reports. I talk to people mm-hmm. a lot. On Sundays,
yeah,
and they'll tell me how they felt welcome. I'll say, you new here today, yes, and they say, yeah, but somebody's already told me how this works, or somebody's already given me a gift as a visitor.
Right.
Somebody's already shown me where the classes are, mm-hmm. something like that. So, a lot of that going on, and as you said, all through the ministries and teaching, it is in the springtime. It's a good time for us to, as things are transitioning into summer, it's a good time for us to do some appreciations, and a lot of those are going to be happening more formally. But as you said, a good time for us to say in the podcast, thank you to everyone who serves in any way at Grace Community Church.
Mm-hmm.
Makes
mm-hmm.
it happen.
All right. Well, we're continuing on in Acts on mm-hmm. Sunday. So why don't you give us a little recap of your sermon?
Okay. We did a large portion in Acts 14. Traveled along into a city, the city of Lystra, and then went through what happened there. It's a fascinating account of a miracle. And mm-hmm. then the crowds wanting to worship Paul and Barnabas as what they thought were gods mm-hmm. coming as men. And so went through that whole thing. But what I wanted to do is end on the way that Paul and Barnabas turned a corner in this chapter, kind of came to the last city, the last new city on their journey, and then went back. And mm-hmm. as they went back, they were really trying to establish the churches and strengthen the Christians and give them the provisions of God so that they can continue on without the apostles.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to comprehend this, that Paul and Barnabas went to these cities, preached the gospel, people came to faith in Christ, they're now called disciples, gathered them in churches, gave them a content called the faith, mm-hmm. something that they were to hold on to as important from God, encouraged them about tribulations, put elders in place, and left.
Yeah.
And said, okay, you're on your own. Now, surely they had contact. A letter was written, the letter of Galatians, and other letters were written to other cities that Paul was in. And so you have New Testament letters. But still, you have, it's pretty sparse, in terms of what they have.
Yeah.
But what they had was what they needed.
Yeah.
And that was what I was trying to press in on Sunday. But then the Lord makes provision for his church.
Yeah.
And if we see that the church, say in Acts 14, the church in Lystra, if by having the encouragement and the instruction of the apostles, and then formulated into what's called the faith, mm-hmm. meaning the essentials were laid out for them.
Yeah.
And then the general encouragement about what the Christian life is going to be like, tribulations until we enter the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And then elders in place to help organize the church and watch over the church. And then prayer for the grace of God. They've got what they need.
Yeah.
Which means we do too.
That's right.
And I just want to keep pressing that home. We have what we need. Mm-hmm. Do we have more than we need? Yes. We have so many resources in the Christian faith yep. right now. We have so many resources for the church. And that's great. We receive every one of them. But if a lot of them went away, we would still have what we need. And yep. that can never be taken away. The Spirit, the Word, the church, you know, the apostolic faith handed down to us, we've got it.
I think that's a really good word because I feel like it's pretty regular. There's a book or a conference or something that comes out somewhere where somebody claims to have something mm-hmm. that churches need now mm-hmm. that they don't know about.
That's right.
It's gonna revolutionize this is something
it.
Or other.
Yes, yeah. And I don't want to be negative toward people writing good material. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good things out there. But, you know, a lot, and the best ones are those that would admit that basically all they're doing is rewording what the Bible already says. Mm-hmm. Because they know if their book goes away, everybody will be fine because we still have the Bible.
That's right.
Those are the ones I actually want to read. Because
a book that's entitled, You Don't Really Need This
yeah,
Book.
Yeah, that's right. This book is just, you know, digesting things that the Bible already says and giving right. it to you in a form that might help you and go sure. back to the Bible. And if you lose the book, don't worry about it.
Right.
It's like, okay, that's the kind of book that will be helpful because it's acknowledging that God has given us what we need in mm-hmm. what Acts 14 calls the faith. And yeah. so that's maybe where I focused a little bit for today on this podcast is the idea that Paul and Barnabas said to the churches, continue in the faith.
Yeah.
A definite article.
Yeah.
A thing specific. Mm-hmm. And it is the apostolic teaching revealed by Jesus, rooted in the Old Testament, fulfilled in Christ, the mystery revealed in Christ, given to the apostles to give to the church. It's called the faith.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to continue in.
Yeah.
To be faithful.
Okay. Well, I think that's the big question that I wanted to discuss today on the podcast. Is you made some statements about the faith, the mm-hmm. orthodoxy, orthopraxy, the mm-hmm. right belief and right practice. But, you know, what would you say are kind of the core essentials? I mean, we say the faith, it's like if you take away an element of this, I suppose it would mean like you've ceased to be talking about the Christian faith now.
Right, right.
You can take it out. So what are those things? And then maybe how might we categorize those apart from other things that people might disagree about, but it wouldn't be disagreeing about the faith.
Yeah. Well, okay, we have a few minutes, so I'll have to say the best way to address this, if someone is really interested, would be to look at some of the decisions in the creeds and councils, mm-hmm. of the councils Apostles reflected Creed, in the Nicene creeds, Creed. Mm-hmm. And other faithful statements of faith. Beginning statements of faith really beginning from reformational time forward, mm-hmm. but creeds from the councils earlier than that. And that will help see what the church and what faithful Bible-believing Christians have understood to be the faith, the content of the faith. And then, and some of the statements of faith actually include some things that we might say we can differ on. Mm-hmm. But still, there's still a good place to read and good place to start there. But generally speaking, when we say the faith, we are talking about essential things about the very nature of God.
Right.
So the Trinity. So that would be a topic for the ancient councils and creeds. Right. The Trinity, the nature of Christ. Mm-hmm. Who is he? Is he two people or is he one person with two natures? He's one person with two natures, by the way, just mm-hmm. to say that. Yeah. And you mentioned the Apostles' Creed. So who is God? What is the nature of the Trinity? What is the nature of the persons of the Trinity? Mm-hmm. Would be the faith. If you deviate from that, you've lost the Christian faith. Mm. And then we would say the essence of the gospel. Mm-hmm. What is the good news of salvation? What does it include? Is it by grace or is it by works? You know, is it through faith or is it through works? So by the gospel of Jesus Christ, the nature of the atonement would fit in that. The gospel of Jesus would be the atonement. What did Jesus actually accomplish on the cross? That would be the faith.
Right.
The nature of the resurrection. Is Jesus actually alive? Mm-hmm. That would be the faith.
Right.
Now, the return of Christ would be the faith. I would say we have to be careful because there are different interpretations of the actual nature of the return.
Right.
Like, what are the details around it, and differing views of the millennium that's mentioned in the book of Revelation. Okay, that the return of Jesus Christ is the faith. The details around that, we could probably say we can have some variations of interpretations and still remain in the faith,
right?
Because we believe in the resurrection and return of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things. So that's what we would call the truth, the doctrine, orthodoxy. But I would also go so far as to say there are very clear issues of morality and ethical behavior that come with beliefs. You got to believe something about it. It's right or wrong, or it's this way or that way. And then there's a behavior that comes from it that is still included in the faith.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the basic commandment not to kill is part of the faith. If you say, no, we can kill people. Yeah, I don't mean like in war. I mean like, okay, you've departed in that instance. And so the basic commandments of God, the categories of human sexuality and sexual expression in marriage are the faith. Mm-hmm. And when someone ventures outside of God's guidance for human sexual expression, which is heterosexual marriage, someone has departed from the faith.
Yeah.
So there are some things that are, and then, you know, there might be some other ethical issues that people might differ on.
Yeah.
Or behavioral issues that people might differ on.
Yep.
But they've not departed from the faith. So it's just, it's reading the Bible and discerning those kinds of things.
Yeah. And you mentioned, in your sermon, you mentioned sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't mention murder. And part of the reason is because the murder thing, pretty much everybody generally agrees we shouldn't go and murder someone, right?
Right.
So even though we would consider it a core part, it's not a big place where our culture is so different about the issue of murder.
That's right.
To where you have to stand up on a soapbox and remind everyone that we're a church who's against murder. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't be an area of distinction for us that's so different.
That's right. Yeah. I would say abortion would come close.
Yes.
To the redefinition of murder. But you're correct. Other than that, you don't have people saying, let's redefine murder.
Right.
But you do have a lot. But we would say that the Bible would be clear on protecting innocent life.
That's correct.
In the womb. Mm-hmm. But you do have in our culture today a lot of redefinition of sexual ethics.
Right.
And the redefinition of marriage. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting, because if someone were to say, why do we even need statements of faith or creeds or that kind of thing, if we've got the Bible? Because every generation is summarizing again core doctrines of the faith that are related to their moment.
Yeah.
So the early creeds were addressing issues of dispute over the nature of Christ or the nature of the Trinity.
Right.
And so now we've got that, and we say, okay, this is the orthodox position.
Yeah.
In our day, we're questioning, like you said, issues of sexuality. And so there are really good statements. I'm not calling them, you know, the creeds of the church, but I am saying there are really good statements that are being put out where people are saying, no, let's redefine the standard, the biblical standard of sexual morality. And those would be helpful for our day.
Yeah. Redefining meaning clarifying.
Did I say redefine?
You said redefining. I think
I meant like
reaffirming.
Reaffirming. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Thank you for that correction.
You didn't want to try to prevent the emails, you know?
Thank you. No, define again.
Yes.
In the appropriate way.
That's
what I meant to say.
That's right. Because others might be trying to redefine it.
Yes.
We therefore have to make it abundantly clear.
Let's hope this podcast is clear, or we're gonna have to start all over. So sometime
next week we'll be taking questions on this podcast.
Let's clear this up. I don't mean redefine as defined differently.
Yes.
That's what's happening in the area of sexuality.
Right.
It's being defined differently than what the Bible says. Yes. So what we want to do is define again the appropriate biblical teaching.
Yeah.
And that would be a good statement.
Yeah. And the reason it's appropriate is because Scripture is clear.
Yes.
On this issue. There are other things that people might disagree about that are not necessarily clear in Scripture. That
right.
Christians might disagree about. You talked about the return of Jesus. We all believe, we're going to affirm that Jesus will physically return in time again, yes, to, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. But the circumstances, the timing, all of those kinds of things, we're free to disagree about, because while Scripture speaks about them, it's not clear enough for us to have an absolute interpretation that we know is correct.
I think that's right. And so part of that leads to this, is distinguishing what is heresy and what is error. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if something is heretical, that means it is a belief or a practice that is clearly outside the bounds,
yep,
of any attempt to be faithful to the Scripture.
Yeah.
But within the faith, people might disagree on the way something is played out. You mentioned the end times. Well, somebody's right and somebody's wrong.
Right.
Right? I mean, there's error. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. But even the person wrong still believes in the return of Christ, so they're not outside the, yeah, faith. And so there, people can be, somebody is in error over the baptism issue.
Right.
So we are a Baptist church, believers' baptism, and we think that's right.
Yeah.
Other people would baptize infants, and they think that's right. One of us is wrong.
Right.
But neither of us, I think, are outside of the faith.
Right.
So you can have an error. You can be an error, but not be a heretic. Mm-hmm. However, that issue still is important enough for churches to say, well, but it's so important to us, this is the only practice we're going to do. Mm-hmm. So baptism is not a saving issue. And some people say, well, then it's not first tier and you shouldn't worry about it. Well, no, it is tier enough.
Like,
it's
church life. Yeah.
It's important enough that we only practice believer's baptism.
Yep.
So that doesn't mean that our brothers and sisters who don't practice believer's baptism, that we would say they're heretics. I hope they wouldn't call us heretics. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't call them heretics. We would just say somebody's right and somebody's wrong.
Yeah.
And we'll find out someday, won't we? Because it is important. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the final thing I would say, is some people say that because there are differences of opinion over these things, they're not important. And my position would be, no, they are important. Mm-hmm. And so we should do our best to get it right.
Yeah.
Knowing that we might not always get it right and about every detail, and the Lord will be gracious, but we need to, at the same time, elevate it to importance and then hold to the faith. And that was the right. whole point. Because clearly the apostles, mm-hmm, left behind a deposit, a articulated, substantive, clear enough to be known and to be passed down generation to generation, faith.
Yep.
And that was the whole point of the message.
Okay. That's great. And then this Sunday, I think we're not leaving the passage we've been on, right? We're jumping back in.
Yeah. Spot. So you know, I knew it. It's funny. You can have a thought, like when I'm preaching, I can still have a thought rolling around in another part of my brain. And as I was preaching Sunday, I kind of was like, I've got to do another sermon on this, because I didn't get to spend time, because we spent so much time on the rest of the passage. I didn't have enough time to talk about where Paul and Barnabas say, through many tribulations, you must inherit the kingdom of God. Mm. And that, to me, is such a powerful, full statement for the life of the Christian and the life of the church, that we need to spend a whole sermon on it. So okay. I'm adding another sermon to Acts 14. And then we'll move on to 15. When we finish 15, we'll take our break from the book of Acts and go with the book of Galatians, which I think we said this last week maybe, because Galatians is connected to this part of this evangelistic missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to it, and we'll see you all on Sunday.
Okay.